Some so-called child-rearing experts believe that you've got to treat kids with kid gloves. That when they play sports as youngsters, you can't keep score because then somebody loses and somebody's feelings will be hurt by that. That you can't use a red pen for marking their papers because that seems threatening to them and makes them feel insignificant if they get red marks on their paper. There is a journalist in Traverse City, a mom who has some different ideas, and this is going to shake some people up. Her name is Heather Shoemaker, and she has written a book that is entitled It's Okay Not to Share and Other Renegade Rules for Raising Competent and Compassionate Kids. Heather's on the other end of our line. Hi, Heather.
Hi, good to be here.
It's nice to talk with you. I'm reading some of your rules and the materials from your book, and I'm taken aback because this isn't what I'm hearing from these so-called experts we're supposed to do. I mean, I thought we were supposed to do flashcard multiplication tables at conception.
Yeah, so that is what the prevailing ideas are, but this may be the only parenting book that encourages you to let your kids hit and kick and punch each other and swear.
Swear? It's okay to swear?
It is.
Why? Tell me the reasoning for this and the basis for some of your ideas. Maybe we better start with the basis for it, because people may just say, well, this is one woman's idea, but you've done a little research on this to seek out advice on ways to raise kids, too.
Yes. This book has startling headlines on the chapter titles, but really it's fundamentally based on child development. So it's got research from some of the top neuroscientists and child psychologists. It's based on the philosophy of a unique preschool in Columbus, Ohio, where they actually do give kids boxing gloves and allow them to do rough and tumble play during the class.
So they duke it out down there?
They do. But it's only, you know, it's a playful game when both kids are having fun.
Yeah.
They don't use it as a way to settle conflicts.
So that comes under the heading of your one chapter, Only Punch Friends?
Right, because if they're not both in a playful mood and having fun together, then it's no longer a game. But if it's a playful game, roughhousing is actually considered to be one of the highest forms of young children's learning. It's great for the brains. It's great for their bodies.
You also advise that kids shouldn't have to say they're sorry for everything.
Well, you know, kids learn about the time that they can talk, that if they say the word sorry, it's a magic word that gets them off the hook. No remorse, no responsibility. I prefer to have kids take action, and maybe go get a tissue or go get an ice pack, come back to the scene, notice the consequences of their actions, and then make a meaningful guarantee. I won't push you again means a whole lot more than sorry.
Talking with Heather Shoemaker, the mom, the journalist, and author of this book called It's Okay Not to Share and Other Renegade Rules for Raising Competent and Compassionate Kids, which I'm sure is raising quite a stir in the child development industry as a whole. Now, you say a lot of things in this book, including advice that kids should not be told who to play with. They should have a right to say, no, I don't want to play with him. Tell me about this.
Yeah, well, the idea of social rejection really scares us as adults when we see it happening with kids. For one thing, just because they're short, kids don't all instantly like each other, and that's okay. There can be some favorites. Kids have special friends just the way adults do. And kids should have the right to play alone if they want to, or with one or two chosen playmates. And that means that they can say no to somebody. Kids are less likely to reject, and they can reject more respectfully by saying, I don't want to play with you right now. But they're less likely to reject when they feel safe, knowing that the new person coming in isn't going to knock over their castle or punch them or hurt them. So we can help them learn skills to accept somebody, but to force friendships really doesn't work. You know, if kids are doing that, usually the social dynamics break down. Kids will feel resentful of the newcomer.
Mm-hmm.
And really, rejection is a skill. Kids need to learn how to take social risks, to experience rejection from time to time, and realize it's not the end of the world. They can recover when someone says no.
The idea that you can hit other kids in a controlled setting like that might fly in the face of what some believe. Also, you advocate allowing kids to do something that I still remember when I was a kid that we did, and that's we played cops and robbers, we played war, we played with guns, in other words, toy guns. And you say that's quite all right. And there are people today who say, no, there's so much bullying and gang activity, you're advocating violence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very touchy subject right now. But really, it's about how a child behaves in real life to themselves and others that's what's important, not what the topic of the game is. So if you look at the kids, are they having fun? Are they treating the other kids well? Are they concerned if someone gets hurt? The game is okay as long as it's not hurting people or property. The real life behavior is much more important than the pretend ideas. But if you look at their games, the kids are often playing the game of good guy, bad guy in order to be the one who's the hero, who's saving the day, making life safe for friends and family. So a lot of child experts consider war play or weapon play at these ages to be moral play. It's about exploring ideas of being a rescuer, of protected and protection. And also, if they're taking different roles, you know, I'll be the bad guy, you be the good guy now, taking that other perspective is a way that kids develop empathy. What does it feel like to be somebody else?
Mm-hmm. Are you a big fan of preschool?
I am a big fan of preschool, but the way that typical preschools are today really scares me, because I think preschool, in its best, is a way for kids to meet other children and bump into ideas, bump into them physically, and realize how to have conflicts and sort them out. It's a great learning experience, but only if the preschool day is truly devoted to unstructured play with expert guidance from child development teachers. When it's all academics, I don't really feel it's teaching them much at all.
How many kids do you have, Heather?
I have two children.
And how have you tried to raise them, and what age are they now?
Well, now they're 4 and 8. I've been raising them according to this philosophy. This is the way I was raised, and I found it really worked. When my brother and I reached high school, we had no complaints about how we were raised, and that was unusual among all the high school kids. So I've been raising my kids the same way and realized that it's not typical these days. So I wanted to share an alternate way to view the world.
No, it's very, very much not typical. You know that. I wonder what kind of reaction you've gotten to your ideas now as you've gotten publicity over this.
Well, one of the reviewers from Parents Magazine said Shoemaker has guts. She's willing to say what we're all secretly thinking, but she actually says it. So I think some people have told me that it's a breath of fresh air, that it's allowing us to relax, really to embrace our children's ideas for play and allow them to follow those ideas. That's very relaxed.
Heather Shoemaker is here. She has written this book, It's Okay Not to Share. She's being called a renegade, a revolutionary. Heather, you like that?
Oh, well, I can live with those terms.
All right. Let's see what our listeners have to say. George and Holly, say hi to Heather.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, they call her a revolutionary, but there's not much revolutionary. She's just taking us back 40 years ago to when most of us were raised, from the baby boomer period. That's how we grew up.
Heather?
Well, you know, people have said, is this retro or is this renegade? Or when did common sense become renegade? So I think there's a lot of validity to what you said. I think people are beginning to forget how bold and messy childhood is and how kids have radically different needs than we do as adults.
All right, George, appreciate it. Let's go to Plymouth. Linda, you are next with Heather.
Good morning, Heather. I totally agree with your book. I've taught grade school from kindergarten through fifth grade. And I have two grandsons, I had one daughter, and I do believe this sharing thing. Sometimes a child is playing very happily. We ask a new child to come into the group, or we as parents do, or neighbors, or whatever. And all of a sudden, the attitude of the good playing time has changed extremely, and it becomes resentful. So I think what you're saying is exactly true. I was raised in the 50s, and we children got along fine. Yes, we had spats, but we worked it out. And we had a great time growing up and learning how to exist in this culture. Thank you so very much for being so open-minded.
Thank you. You know, she raises a good point because we expect children to share on demand and right when they're busy using something. Giving it up then feels terrible, so we're not teaching generosity. And instead, it's better for both kids to wait until the child's done playing with it. Then the child who wants it doesn't have instant gratification. Instead, they learn impulse control. They learn to wait.
Some would say, though, that by making them share what they don't want to, you're sort of getting them ready for adulthood by it's sort of like a taxation system. You know, the government's going to take it from you now and let somebody else use it. Just kidding. Let's go to sort of kidding. Canton, Jody, you're on the Frank Beckman Show. Say hi to Heather.
Hi, Heather, and hi, Frank. Love your show.
Thank you.
You know, I said to someone, after you hear about all these murders and all these, it's usually someone that's getting divorced and they can't handle rejection. And I actually said to somebody, you know, they ought to teach how to handle rejection in school. And they said, Jody, they took all that away by all the things that you mentioned earlier, Frank. You know, the you can't, you know, mark the paper with a red pen. Everybody has to be on the same, you know, everybody has to win. Everybody, it's ridiculous. And I was raised in the 50s. We all turned out great. We learned how to handle rejection. You know,
you learn you don't like rejection. And so you find a way to succeed
to
and you
better.
Find a way to get along with others.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's my point, and I totally agree with you, and I hope your book millions of copies.
Well, thank you. You know, I do have a part when I'm writing the rejection chapter about help your kid, if they really need it, to develop their friendship skills better, because no one likes to be rejected, and there are ways that they can learn to change their behavior to become more successful.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Detroit. Jen, you're on the Frank Beckman Show. Hello.
Hi, yes, I just want to comment. I totally agree with you. I have two kids, and they're now in high school. And I've always told them, like in the sports end of things, you know, they're like, oh, you know, she cheated this or that and that. You know, I'm like, fuck up, man. You know, next time beat them or hit inside the line. They play, tennis and all that. And I'm just like, then make sure they can't call it out. And, you know, people nowadays, they just, these parents, I mean, you know, let your kid, you know, learn, fight their own battles, and, you know, and every parent needs to step in on everything. That's just crazy.
What do you say, Heather?
I'm hearing a lot of agreement from your callers.
I know, and I'm waiting for somebody to say, you're absolutely crazy. We want to get back to this politically correct world here.
It's difficult to accept some of these ideas in the current culture we're in, which seems to be a culture of fear. And there's a lot of parents who tell me they just feel intense pressure to parent a way they don't even believe in.
We appreciate the call. Thank you, Jen. Let's take one more quick break here. We'll wrap things up with Heather in a moment here on the Frank Beckman Show with more of your calls, 800-859-0957. Heather, I'm assuming you can stay a little bit. People seem to really want to talk about this.
Yeah, I'm actually, that would be fine if we can do one more.
All right, we'll do one more little segment here, and then we'll let you go, okay? Michael in Otter Lake, say hi to Heather Shoemaker here on the Frank Beckman Show.
Hello, Heather. Great topic. I just first want to say that, Frank, we need 40 more years out of you.
Thank you. let's just go for one at a time, okay?
Yeah, okay. Listen, Heather, I think it's a great book or whatever you've got out there, the beliefs that you're passing along, but it's amazing to me that everybody that calls in agrees. I think it's a great book or whatever you got there, but why does the minority, and you can relate this along with the media, seem to make the standard of living for other people? I think your thoughts and what you have on paper is a great thing, but when did it change? And I mean, that's exactly the way I was brought up. I don't understand the way of thinking in this country. Why does the minority seem to set the standard of living in this
that's
country?
That's a great question right there, and especially how it's infiltrated the schools, Heather.
Well, and I don't have a complete answer, but I do think we've become distrustful of childhood. We're afraid of childhood and the free range of ideas and play that kids do. And there's a lot of policy involved. As you know, there's an acceleration of curriculum. So the kids in kindergarten are now going to all-day, everyday kindergarten almost everywhere these days. Instead, we used to have playtime and take a nap and, not have to drill the ABCs at that age. But because the curriculum now that kindergartners face is what first and second graders used to do, they're pushing the academic drilling to younger and younger kids. So now we have that happening for 3- and 4-year-olds and even academic schools for 2-year-olds.
So what are we missing with that approach?
Well, there was a teacher, a kindergarten teacher, who told me that she has toys in her classroom, but the toys grow dusty. They don't have time for it because of the requirements they have to meet. We're missing the basic learning that happens, that should happen in early childhood. In my opinion, there are two main things that kids need to do in early childhood. One is learn how to cope with their intense emotions appropriately. Know what to do when they're angry. Know what to do with their intense feelings. And the second thing is to learn how to encounter conflict and negotiate conflicts and solve them. With other kids, with other people. If they have those two foundational skills, they're going to go far.
Well, listen, I wish you the best with the book. Available everywhere?
It's available at all bookstores, yes.
Beautiful. It's Okay Not to Share by Heather Shoemaker from up in Traverse City. Good luck with it, Heather. Thanks for coming on and extending your stay on our show.
All right. Thanks so much, Frank.
Take care now. There she goes, Heather Shoemaker. And again, the book is called It's Okay Not to Share, the Other Renegade Rules for Raising Competent and Compassionate Kids. Interesting stuff. Northwood University, they teach a lot of things there. Sharing, but also making it on your own as a business person in the real world. They teach principles as American as the foundation of our country at Northwood, based on principles that have made America great. Individual initiative, free markets, capitalism, business ethics, part of the curriculum there. From day one, students actually participate in real-world situations at Northwood, and they work together in their chosen field, apply knowledge learned in the classroom to Northwood events like auto shows, fashion shows, marketing campaigns, and more. Undergraduates start right into their majors on day one. They integrate a general education and a business major plan to help them achieve the American dream, and that's really what it's all about. Find out more how a Northwood University business degree can help you. Visit their website. It is northwood.edu.